HTurners.com podcast, a podcast provided to help you be a part of the generation that ends this age. In this installment, Brother Tom Getz reveals how the judgment seat of Christ motivated Paul to keep his conscience void of offense toward both God and man.
Today we'll begin to fellowship on another line that is very much related to the series that Brother Ricky had been covering over the last number of weeks. His fellowship is always so very practical and helpful for our fellowship with the Lord and our dealing with a conscience. I'm so thankful to the Lord for such help that could be rendered to the young people in the Lord's recovery today. Well, today we'd like to continue to fellowship about the conscience. And I would like to read from Acts chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. And I would like to fellowship just a little bit about the context of the Apostle Paul's dealing with his conscience. In Acts 24, 15 and 16, he says this, "Having hope toward God, which these themselves also look for, that there is to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Because of this, I also exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense toward God and men." And I really would like to enjoy this little phrase, because of this. Why does the Apostle Paul exercise to always have a conscience without offense toward God and men? It's because there is to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. You know, there's two resurrections that are mentioned here. The resurrection of the righteous is the resurrection at the Lord's coming back. And at the resurrection of the righteous, there is the judgment seat of Christ. The reward is given to the overcoming believers, and they will enter into the wedding feast to be with the Lord and to enjoy the Lord for 1,000 years. There is also some who will not participate in the wedding feast. And this is still the resurrection of the righteous, but they have some unfinished business before God. They have matters, things on their conscience, unconfessed sins, undealt with worldliness, and a particular kind of living that would not qualify them to enjoy Christ in the coming kingdom age. Then he also mentions that there's a resurrection of the unrighteous. Now, this resurrection takes place at the end of the millennium, and the ones who are resurrected there will go to the judgment of the great white throne, where it tells us in Revelation 20 that the books were opened and the people were judged according to their behavior, according to their doing. This is a serious thing, that there is these two kinds of judgments that every one of us, every human being, must face God and be judged by him. Now, the ones who are judged at the great white throne are sent to the lake of fire, not because of their deeds, but because they did not believe. It's because their names were not recorded in the book of life. It's unbelief that becomes the unique reason why some people will be in the lake of fire. But Paul says it's because of this. It's like he's living before God every day, realizing that he's going to have to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, he says, because of this, I exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense toward God and men. I also would like to direct your attention to some verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And please mind you, this is the last chapter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his young co-worker Timothy. It's like his concluding word, his final word to his young co-worker is this. It begins with chapter 4 of 2 Timothy verse 1. "I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." Here Paul is giving his concluding word to his young co-worker, and he gives him a solemn charge. A solemn charge has got to be the most serious charge that you could give someone. The Apostle Paul was ready to die. A few verses later, he says, "For I am already being poured out, and the time of my departure is at hand." So it's really a concluding word to his young co-worker, and he's charging him in the most solemn way. The most solemn charge was to charge him before God and before Christ Jesus, and in the context, who is to judge the living and the dead. Now, this again points Timothy, a young Timothy, my young co-worker. You have to understand something. You have to live with the view of the coming judgment seat of Christ in front of you. And his appearing, it says here, and by his appearing, he's to judge the living and the dead by his appearing. It's the appearing of the Lord that will judge us. It's his appearing that will expose us. How much we need to be in the Lord's presence today, how much we need to live before him, and how much we need to be dealt with and judged by him in this age, so that in that day, there will be nothing that needs to be dealt with. The Apostle Paul was somebody who had a normal, healthy, and proper fear of God. You know, I think among us nowadays, among believers, there is not much talk or fellowship concerning the fear of God. In fact, there is not even much talk about judgment when it comes to believers. And I've often thought, even in our gospel preaching, our gospel message should be a warning. It might be that these people will hear this gospel message only one time in their life. And so often, our gospel message is a message of satisfaction and God's purpose, which is fine, of peace and joy and rest. But I wonder, when was the last time that we told people that there's a God and he's coming? He's coming to judge the earth. You know, in the days of Noah, it was just like this. God had measured out to that generation a certain period of time. He measured out, according to Genesis 6:3, 120 years. And he charged Noah to build an ark. And he and his three sons, they spent the next 120 years to build up the ark, which is a type of the church. And we today are under a same vision. We realize that the end is near. Too many things are happening that are pointing us to the Lord's very soon return. And so our whole life is wrapped up with the building up of the church. But on the other hand, we realize that at the end of the 120 years, like Noah, judgment was coming. And when the Lord appears, when the Lord comes, that's it. There's no more time to repent. There's no more time to have a change. No more time to be transformed. No more time to repent. Time is up and time is over. It's at that time that everyone will have to face the Lord. So today in this fellowship, I just would like to come back to this verse. Because of this, I exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense before God and men. How much we need to live before God in the light of his coming judgment seat, that we would not live a loose life. We would not live a life that thinks that everything is going to be fine, that the Lord is loving and kind and he will look the other way. The Apostle Paul did not have that kind of feeling. And it says that he exercised himself to always have a conscience without offense toward God and men. May we all be just like this, those who will exercise to always have a conscience without offense toward God and toward men. That's all for today. Please visit our website at ageturners.com. Or if you'd like to respond to this podcast, please email us at feedback@ageturners.com. Don't forget, please never forget, we are the generation that will end this age. For HTurners.com, this is Brother Tom Getz.